Harper Audio presents Built to Last, Successful Habits of Visionary Companies. Written and read by Jim Collins and Jerry I. Porras. Preface. This is Jim Collins, and I'd like to welcome you to this audio recording of Built to Last by me and my co-author, Jerry Porras. Jerry and I will roughly alternate chapters throughout this entire recording. I'll go first, then Jerry second, and so forth. The roots of this book are twofold. And first came a question. Like most of our best work, it was a question and a challenge from a student. Early in my teaching career at the Stanford Graduate School of Business in 1989, I faced a skeptical group of MBA students in my course in entrepreneurship and small business. And one day, a student cornered me with a challenge. "Jim, I have a problem with your entire course," she said. "You say this course is about building enduring great companies from the ground up, but you're using case examples from companies like, say, Apple Computer." Nothing against Apple Computer, but we cannot tell if Apple is going to become one of those great iconic companies. No question, we will all agree it will have been a tremendous entrepreneurial success story. But no one can yet say if it's going to attain the enduring significance of companies like IBM or GE or Johnson & Johnson. Furthermore, and at this point she thumped her finger on the desk, how do you know the company was successful because of anything you're teaching us? The company could have just been lucky. After all, if you have the Apple II in 1977 and you have the Macintosh in 1984, well, Apple could have been successful not because of its management practices, but in spite of them. Her challenge hung in the air, and she was right. Growth and early success can cover an awful lot of sins. Perhaps, unwittingly to be sure, I was just feeding my students managerial cyanide. A colleague advised upon the start of my faculty appointment that I should respond to such challenges by trying to look wise. But I was only 31 years old, and I looked just as young as the average student. So finally, after a long pause, I said simply, "That's a really good question. I'll get back to you." Little did I know that it would take 6 years of research and 325 pages of text to make good on my promise. Her challenge festered in my brain. She was right. How would you know which factors separate the few entrepreneurial success stories that become truly great companies from all the others? Why did Sam Walton's small chain of dime stores grow to become Walmart? Why did Ibuka's band of renegade entrepreneurs in a bombed-out building in downtown Tokyo in 1945, with a failed rice cooker, of all things, as its first product, rise to become Sony Corporation? Why was Thomas J. Watson Sr. able to take the small and insignificant computing, tabulating, recording company and turn it into the International Business Machines Corporation, known today as IBM? And most important, what separated these cases from others? Others that were just as lucky, or maybe even more lucky, in the early going? I had no answers. Meanwhile, just down the hall, and unbeknownst to me, the second root of this book had taken hold. My colleague Jerry Porras had spent the previous 25 years trying to answer the question of how organizations can change to make themselves healthier places to work and more successful in delivering results. As he began to piece together his life's work into an overall framework, he realized that he lacked a significant piece of the puzzle. What drives healthy and enduringly successful organizations?